chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes and verse number 1. I'd like to speak on an unusual subject. And if you've ever read Ecclesiastes, you know it's an unusual book. It's a unique book. Verse number 1 says in chapter number 2, I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said, of laughter it is mad, and of mirth what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. Verse 17 says, therefore I hated life. I'd like to speak for a little bit on the subject, been there and done that. I keep hearing that phrase, people saying it, seeing it on hats, t-shirts. Been there and done that. I didn't grow up with that phrase. I don't know when it started. When we left here for Ireland, it's been, 13 and a half years ago now, they didn't say get her done. I never heard that before. And now I hear that all the time. You know, things get invented through the years. But been there and done that has been around for a while. And we all know what that means. And if there's anybody in the Bible who could say, I've been there and I've done that, it was Solomon, the man who wrote the words that I just read. Solomon knew better, but he tried everything. And I do mean everything. He had the money to do it, and he did it. He was not only the wisest man who ever lived, but he was also one of the richest men who ever lived. May have been the richest man who's ever lived. So, what I want to do for a few minutes is let Solomon tell us everything he tried, and then let's hear his conclusions about it. What would it be like to have everything you ever wanted every day of your life? Well, here's a man who did. And he tells us his conclusions. I didn't read any further, but if you keep on reading in chapter number 2, he tells us what he had. He was the king, but more than that, he tells us that he had houses and vineyards. Excuse me, he had orchards, gardens, pools of water. Of course he had servants. He had livestock, stables. I've seen the stables of Solomon. The ruins are still there in Jerusalem, or outside Jerusalem, though 3,000 years have passed. He tells us that he had great possessions. Solomon had the best way of travel in that day, many royal chariots. So when it comes to the best of everything, he could say, I've been there, I've done that. All the money he wanted, silver and gold, all the traveling he wanted to do, exotic animals, everything new, everything elegant, everything luxurious, whatever his soul desired, he got it. He tried it. Nothing was withheld from him, whether it was good or whether it was bad. He talks about singers and musical instruments. He just tried it all. That was his lifestyle for a long time. The Bible speaks of how they brought in exotic animals and peacocks and apes and all kind of trees and fruits and anything that he heard about from foreign lands, he had imported and he tried it. Nobody has ever been able to say more truly than this man, oh, I've tried that. I've done that. I've been there. So So I guess, since he had everything he ever wanted, had all the money he could ever spend, and all the power anybody could ever want, I guess he was the happiest man who ever lived. Must have been. Well, the truth is, he wasn't. In fact, after he tried everything, he said, "I think I'm going to kill myself." He said, "I hated life." And he found out, he probably knew it already, but he found out by experience that things don't make you happy. Things can't satisfy the deepest longing of your soul. There's several phrases that he uses throughout Ecclesiastes, and I'll just mention two of them. 40 times in the 12 chapters of this book, Solomon will talk about things that he tried, and then he'll stop and say, "And that was a waste of time. I tried this, and that was vexation. And I tried something new, and that brought me no fulfillment." He calls it vanity. It's in the first verse that I read. "Behold, this also is vanity." And he's talking about pleasure. So had all the pleasure you could ever have. But he said when it was all said and done, it did not satisfy my soul. Vexation, vanity, it's a waste. Many people are surprised to hear that. They think just the opposite. They think if I just had a whole lot more of what this world could give, it would satisfy me. Well, I don't know if you want to believe Solomon or not, but he said it's just the opposite. It was a supreme disappointment. It was just vanity, a dream, thin air, emptiness. We're not surprised at this verdict. The whole Bible tells us this same truth. Maybe not as graphically as we find it in this book. But anybody who knows that we're made by God and for God comes to the conclusion that then if that's so, then only a relationship with God can make us supremely happy. And nothing else will. And you can try it all. I was thinking this morning of the three richest people I know. And I thought, what do I think of when I think of them? Multi-millionaires. And the one thing they all have in common is I've never seen them smile. Because they've got so much and they're worried about it and they're worried that somebody else is going to take it. And if that's what it does for you, then no wonder Solomon said, "I hated life." What did Jesus say about this? He said, "Take heed and beware of always wanting things." Luke 12:15, the sin of covetousness. He said, "A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesseth." Now hold on, Jesus didn't say you can't have things. What he said is, beware lest things have you. And you don't have to be a millionaire for things to have you. And anything can become an idol. Anything between you and God is an idol. Well, let's consider this generation for a minute. This is the generation that invented the been there, done that phrase, and that's because in our day, through travel and through computers and the internet and cell phones and all the advanced technology, we can see more, know more, do more, and go further than any generation that's ever lived. And it's made us supremely happy, right? No, this is the most disgusted, disgruntled generation in recent times. Look at any statistic you want to on the home, Any statistic you want to about the church or society, we're fed up with the government, where our homes are falling into. They're having to vote in state legislatures all over this country. What a family is anymore? We don't even know what a family is anymore in this country. There are thousands of elected men and women who do not even know that a man and a woman is supposed to get married, and that is a family, and that's at the beginning of a home. As simple as that is, this is the generation that has to vote on that in state legislatures. No, we're not supremely happy. We've just tried everything, and we're just so shocked that it hadn't fulfilled us. We've looked in all the wrong places. And Solomon is saying to you and me in this generation, you're wasting your time. Solomon said, I was the king. They sought for my wisdom from other places in the world. I had it all, but it didn't do me no good. You're wasting your time chasing power and prestige. He finally tells us what the solution is. He says it's not gold, it's God. As you read on, there's some mighty strong spiritual statements in this book. In the last chapter, he says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Solomon looks back and said, I wasted my youth, and I'm so sorry that I wasted my youth. And that's a very, very strong warning, and one that we do well to heed. Remember God when you're young. If you don't, you'll look back upon your youth with regret. Those days when you're young, when you have the opportunity to learn and your mind is alert and you have the strength to do what you want to do, that day will be gone. I was speaking to some of my kin folks the other day, and they have a desire to do, but they don't have the strength to do. And that day is coming to every one of us when we're not going to be able to do what we want to do. And while you have strength, use it wisely and use it for the Lord. Solomon also says in that last chapter, he says, hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. In chapter 12, verse 13. He says, don't leave God out of your life. Fear Him. Acknowledge His existence. Acknowledge His power, His goodness. Fear is a reverential trust. And not only know there's a God and acknowledge that He's a good God, a powerful God, but also submit to Him, obey His Word, keep His commandments. This is the duty of man, not to amass more things for yourself. That's his conclusion. He says the path to fulfillment begins with a bowed knee and a broken heart. We're living in a day when you can hop on a plane, you can travel around the world, you can almost travel around this world and see everything in just a few weeks' time, where years ago it took them a month to get from one continent to another. Now we hop on a plane in Charlotte and we're in London the very next morning. We've got everything. But still, sadly, we're not fulfilled. We're desperate. And if you've never been to the cross or Calvary, you've never been anywhere anyway. That's the place to be. By faith, as a sinner, realizing your lostness, trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's what it means to go to the cross of Calvary. I want to mention one more phrase that's found throughout this book. 29 times Solomon uses the phrase, under the sun. Under the sun. He says it's all vanity and vexation of spirit under the sun. He says when you leave God out of the equation and you just look at what's under the sun, he says it makes me despair of even living. And we need to realize that if all there is what's under the sun, then we're of all men most miserable this morning. But I want to tell you that there's more to it than meets the eye. There's more to it than you and me and this world we're living in. Above the sun, there is a God who made all things and rules this creation. Above the sun is a place called heaven where you can go when you die. In this earth is a place called hell where people go who reject the gospel. Above the sun is God in heaven, and through Him is life and truth and peace and joy and hope. I thank God that there's more to it than just what's under the sun. And if we don't look above the sun, all will be in vain. Why did those men jump off of skyscrapers in the Depression? Because money was their God, and when their money was gone, they had no reason to live. All they had was under the sun. Some people act like we're animals without a soul. Some people act like we're just mere creatures of time. And that we live and we die as an animal, and that's the end of it. Well, that's not what I read in the Bible. I read in the Bible that this earth is a dressing room for eternity. And that we're destined for heaven or for hell forever and forever. We're not animals. Evolution says we're animals. Evolution is a lie. God made man in His image and after His likeness. You are not a body that has a soul. You are a soul living temporarily in a body which one day will go back to the dust. But you will live on. You will never die. 100 billion years from this morning, you will be living on. Where are you going to live forever? Better get ready. This rich man died and two men were talking and they said, "How much did he leave behind?" The other fellow said, "Well, he left it all behind." I like to ask this been there, done that generation a question. So proud that you've been so many places and done so many things. There's probably one thing you ain't never done. You're too coward to do it. You've never been a Christian. You've never been a true blue Christian. This generation that's trying everything and is still hopeless. And you can see the despair written on their faces. I read a report that said that this is the gloomiest, most depressed generation in civilization since they've been keeping a record. Why is that? We ought to be happy. We got everything. But we've made gods out of these blessings. And we left God out of the equation. Have you ever become a true blue Christian? Or are you a coward? You've tried everything else, but you won't try Jesus. You've tried drugs. You've tried alcohol. You've tried religion. You've tried the occult. You've tried immorality. You've tried cars. You've tried hobbies. You've tried music. You've tried everything, but the one thing that will satisfy you, and that is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Why don't you give Jesus a chance? You give the devil a chance. Why don't you give Jesus a chance? You say, "I don't like it." Well, it's true anyway. Why don't you give Jesus a chance? So what if you're a Rothschild, a Rockefeller, or a Morgan? So what if you're the prince or the king or the Lord Byron? What will it profit a man to gain this whole world and lose his own soul? It'll profit him nothing. Mark 8:36. Jesus Christ said, if you could have all you ever wanted, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, if you could have it all, and you still died and went to hell, it'd been better you never drew your first breath. It would profit you nothing whatsoever. Not a thing. I've been to the home of Patrick Henry, our great American forefather. I was reading his will. those men were Christians, and I have such a respect for our founding fathers who started this nation outright. We've erred greatly from how they started, but thank God they started this outright. Patrick Henry, who said, "Give me liberty or give me death." In his will. And you can read it. It's in his home there. I think that's Bedford, Virginia. This is not a preacher now, but a politician and a Christian. He said, "I leave to my family the most valuable and precious possession of all, my Christian testimony." If you don't leave behind the testimony that you were saved, friend, you blew it. You wasted your life. You lived for nothing. You wasted it. And it's going to be a grief and a sorrow to your family for as long as they ever remember you. If you never do but one thing in your life, you make sure that you leave behind a Christian testimony. So that when you leave this world, everybody who knows you will know where you went. I had a funeral years ago. This lady came to me. She said, "Don't preach my daddy into hell." I said, "We're not preaching your daddy into hell." I said, "Your daddy was saved anyway." And I said, "It's not in my power to preach anybody into heaven or hell. They decide that. Not even God decides that. Not even God decides whether you go to heaven or hell. You decide that. That's your choice. God don't send people to hell. They send themselves." Patrick Henry said, "I leave my testimony behind." And that's the most valuable thing we can leave behind. Solomon said, "I've tried it all, and I found it to be a complete waste of time." And poor old Solomon, he never recovered. Read the last chapter, he died a backslider. It had been better for him if he never had one penny. It had been better for average person. All the Jesus Christ spoke of how many times the rich let their money become their God, and how hardly shall they that have riches inherit the kingdom of God. I've met many a man and walked away from him saying, "If he'd just been born in the jungle, never had nothing, he might have listened to the gospel." But no, he's got his own gods now. That's a sad thing, isn't it? It's a sad thing when you let your blessings be a rope around your neck and take you down to hell. Is it well with you today? Let's bow our heads, please. Close our eyes for prayer. We're going to have an invitation. Thank you for your attention. Our Father, in Jesus' name, we realize that all the Bible is for our good. Lord, we believe Ecclesiastes was included in the Bible to show us that it's all vanity and vexation of spirit without God. Lord, I pray for everyone here. You know our hearts and our needs. Save those, Lord, that are not saved. Help Christians, Lord, to do the will of God. Help us to remember what's really important. May we not fail to leave behind a testimony that we were saved and that we love God and we love the church and we love their family. Lord, I thank you that whosoever will can come and none are excluded and all are invited. Bless the sick and shut in, Lord. Meet every need. Thank you for what you'll do and bless this invitation for Jesus' sake and amen. Let's stand together, please. We're standing. We're singing together an invitation. Maybe there's a need in your life. Something I mentioned or maybe something I didn't. I'm always aware that the Holy Spirit can speak to people's hearts about things that I never even mentioned. Maybe you'd like to come. You mind the Lord as we sing, Brother Kevin. Just as I am. Come on the first stanza. Would you come as we sing? You have to come to Him just as you are. He'll take you as you are. Have you tried everything and you're still disappointed? Solomon has a word for us today. You're going to have to look above the sun. For under the sun, it's vexation and vanity. Can you leave here today knowing it's well and you're saved and you're right with God? As we keep singing, would you mind the Lord? We love you. God loves you. He's trying to reach you, trying to speak to you. But He's a gentleman. He'll never violate your will, make you do something you don't want to do. He's not that kind of God. Now's your opportunity. I wouldn't throw it away. I wouldn't let the devil talk me out of it. One life to live. That's all. Just one. Let's sing another verse, please. God bless honest hearts. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. It all starts with a bowed knee and a broken heart. Next time somebody says to you, I've been there and done that, ask them, have you ever been a Christian? Anybody can follow the crowd. Any dead fish can float down the stream. Anybody can be one of the boys. It takes no courage, no wisdom to do that. But it takes something. To stand alone, to buck the tide, to stand up for what's right in a world that's upside down. Don't ever let anybody accuse you of being a coward if you live for Jesus Christ. I trust you'll take the message home with you. I've delivered my heart. I've done everything I know to do. When I went on a trip to the Holy Land many years ago, we went to the Capernaum Synagogue, where Jesus Christ stood when He said, He that cometh to Me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on Me shall never thirst. That's quite a promise. Well, I'm glad that's true in the life of every Christian. When you come to Jesus Christ, your long search is over. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger. He that believeth on Me shall never thirst. My thirst was quenched. My soul was satisfied. And I'm not out looking in all directions for fulfillment and satisfaction. My search is ended. I found it all in the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll do it for you. He'll do it for you. And if you look anywhere else, it'll be a dead-end street, I guarantee you. It really will. I appreciate you being in the service today. Hope you have a wonderful, worshipful, restful Lord's Day. Pray for one another.